Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, professionals, and of course, policymakers. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. This is at that time of the year when, you know, everyone in the government is focusing on what's happening in North Block, or previously what used to happen in North Block, where the finance ministry used to be housed. Of course, North Block and South Block have now, you know, is soon going to turn into museums, and finance ministry progressively moved to other places in the Central Vista project. If the year 2025 was marked by big reforms that made taxation simpler, it cleared legal clutter, expanded markets for Indian products, 2026 looks exciting. And also, there's a fair degree of uncertainty because of what's happening in the global arena. There's a momentum, of course, and there's also a lot of heightened expectations of what the budget is likely to contain. In this episode of Unusual Suspects, we'll focus it down on specifically on the micro, small, and medium enterprises, which, if I may say so, is the in many ways the lifeblood of the Indian economy. There's about 60 million MSMEs or more, employing more than 110 million people. Close to about half of India's GDP comes from them, and also merchandise exports. They do a lot of heavy lifting. MSMEs have also been at the receiving end because of the Trump tariffs, and because a lot of exports have got affected. And this has had, of course, will have and have already had consequences across the supply chain as orders have dried out, and could have consequences for employment and hiring too. So clearly, everyone is focused on what the finance minister is likely to unveil, whether there's going to be some kind of a support package for MSMEs, given the fact that they're one of the most significant pillars of the Indian economy. From policy support, credit access, to improving competitiveness and productivity, we'll take a close look at all of this and much more with our guest, Ishwaran Subramanian, partner, Deloitte India. Thank you so much, Mr. Subramanian, for joining us. Delighted to have you here.
Thank you for having me here, Gaurav.
Mr. Subramanian, MSMEs contribute more than a third of India's GDP and close to 46% of India's exports. Now, we have seen over the last 12 months or so, there is growing protectionism, particularly from the US. Our price competitiveness of exports have significantly eroded because of the very high tariffs. My question is very basic and fundamental nonetheless, is how vulnerable is the MSME sector and how critical is budget 2026 for them?
So just to give you a context, I think when you take the data of April 2025 to December 2025, exports on an overall basis has gone up, right? Marginally, though, from about 325 to about 330 billion or so. But that said, I think what you mentioned is very right. There is a high degree of vulnerability as far as MSMEs are concerned from two dimensions. The first one is obviously the cost to serve that you mentioned, and therefore the competitiveness of MSMEs into the global market, primarily because input material prices have increased. It's quite likely that they may not be able to translate that from a realization perspective. So that's point number one. The second one is also with the tariffs in perspective, the avenues for exports need to be expanded, which means that MSMEs will also get into new areas where the cost to serve initial years would be much higher than what they were doing in traditional markets that they were in. So for these two reasons, I would expect that the vulnerability of MSMEs to the global trends and especially the tariffs is significantly high right now. And specifically for labor-intensive sectors of the Indian economy. Because fundamentally, what has also happened is that in addition to the increasing price of input materials, which we can assume is common to most parts of the world, there is also the aspect of factor productivity. And as you know, one of the big areas of consideration for us is the total factor productivity growth rate in India.
Right.
So to that extent, I think a combination of these two, in my view, this is the time for us to really start looking at what can be done structurally to address the competitiveness of MSMEs holistically rather than very myopically, or I would say in a very siloed manner.
Absolutely. You know, with MSMEs accounting for almost half of India's merchandise exports, what are the specific measures that the budget can actually announce? So do you think there is a case for more export credit support, or case for enhanced duty drawback, particularly in tariff sensitive sectors like jewelry and gems and leather?
I would look at it in two ways in terms of support that should come in. The first one is a seamless implementation of all what has been announced in the past couple of budgets. Many of them are significant, right? Including, let's say, cash flow based lending that we have spoken about, which is getting implemented, the equity funding, which is coming in. Third is some of the other platforms of funds that the government already has in place, where, the limits are of a certain levels, and therefore that could be enhanced, etc. For example, the Mudra programs and stuff like that. So in my view, I think the first one would be taking those which have been announced in the last couple of budgets, where an accelerated implementation which can cover a larger penetration and therefore a larger conversion of MSMEs would be key. We can take a focus cluster, focus sector approach. For example, if you want to take gems and jewelry with Surat and let's say parts of Maharashtra into account, or take knitwear and actually have Tirupur and possibly a couple of locations, or have the leather cluster with, let us say, Kanpur in context. I'm just giving you examples, right? So the first one is to really say how we can take a focus cluster, focus sector approach. Because mind you, one of the things that the MSMEs are competing with is not against countries, but against clusters. So the MSMEs compete against a cluster in Taiwan, a cluster in Vietnam, a cluster in China, etc. So that's point number one. The second thing is, what can we do differently for MSMEs? How can we really, while all these are focused on MSMEs as individual organizations and units, one of the things that we may also want to look at is how can the MSMEs leverage their alignment to larger organizations? For example, we have production-linked incentive programs. We have state incentives and subsidies. We have manufacturing incentives which are there for large companies. Now, MSMEs which are tagged to them, how can they leverage many of these? Because they have a significant impact directly on the bottom line of these companies. And therefore, some of the schemes that the government is routing, how can they actually be percolated through the entire value chain rather than just the anchor companies? That will become an important consideration for us. And these are therefore easily implementable because most of the schemes are central and state, and therefore it can be through the budget model that we can quickly implement. So I would say from a near-term perspective, two things: accelerating the last two announcements in terms of coverage conversion, coverage penetration conversion. And the second one is, can we take a value chain view where the MSMEs are aligned with, let's say, the schemes for the larger organizations, and therefore they can also be a part of the competitiveness which the larger companies would obviously enjoy given the benefits and the subsidies that they need.
The competitiveness is not just a function of price, it's also a function of quality and productivity. And there has been, to be fair to the government, there has been multiple government initiatives that aimed at improving quality and productivity. And if you take an objective view, I think MSMEs have fallen short on many fronts on the global quality competitiveness scale, not because of the lack of effort from the government side, but because of various other factors. So, in your view, what kind of last mile training and capacity building should the budget focus on? Because we have to move up the quality chain, isn't it?
Absolutely. So what you said is extremely right in terms of saying that competitiveness is not just about cost to serve, but obviously, like what we discussed at the start, It's a function of factor productivity, just the sum total of everything, including quality. And specifically speaking about quality, there are two things that we may want to do in parallel. One is capacity building, and second is capability building. Now, in terms of capacity build, the fundamental thing that we may want to do is, I think a lot of them, primarily today, specifically in sectors which have export exposures which are significant and potentials which are significant, I think the entire focus needs to be on testing, certification, and compliance to global standards. And therefore, can Right. we actually reward organizations which can primarily be globally competitive through the certifications or through the meeting of specific standards? So that is from a company perspective that we may want to think about. The second one is in terms of capacity building. So that I would say from a capability build perspective, right? If you are able to really focus on organizations which can achieve certain thresholds of quality and incentivize them, that would be a motivation model for companies. The second one is in terms of capacity. And there again, going back, infrastructure for testing, accreditation, certification, and compliance, that would become extremely critical. Therefore, what is happening now is a lot of them have to really create that capex, or fundamentally in the absence of that capex, they produce goods and services which are not in conformance to global standards. The moment we are able to really create that value chain and therefore enable organizations in the ecosystem to produce to that chain, that would be very relevant. So the role in this budget could be of two parts. First one would be really in terms of the capability build that can be done through the models of budgets. Second one is the capacity build. The third one is also incentivizing the large organizations. I think adoption of MSMEs into the larger value chain has been absent in India, which has been the biggest success of countries like Japan and to a large extent also Germany, right? Where you have the Mittelstand and the other proven models. So one of the things that we may also want to do is to see how specific adoption models, you know, we had this, the previous budget where we talked about internship being provided and therefore so many million people coming in and the company is getting incentivized for that. Very similarly, if you're able to look at how the large companies can adopt clusters of MSMEs, which can be even in their own value chain or in the adjacent value chains, and really bring them up to quality, cost, and delivery standards, which are global in nature, then that would also be a strong model for us to create the India for the future. So I'm also not looking at just the India for today, but then the MSMEs would obviously be able to have role models which they would be able to actually emulate and take forward. So these are the three things that I would think. Two of them within the MSME ecosystem, and the third one is really aligning the large companies to the MSME ecosystem so that MSMEs are not seen as a standalone in the policy.
You know, one of the key constraints for MSMEs has always been and remains so is of liquidity. And it's a function of various factors, including cash flow, delayed payments, excess, et cetera, but one of the key factors is also a limited and delayed access to credit. Could there be, is there a case for building a faster green channel lending for compliant MSMEs or some kind of a dedicated liquidity or growth fund for improving credit flow, because liquidity is the fuel that will keep the MSME sector, you know, pulling along, isn't it?
I think, you know, if you had seen the budgets, the previous budgets, a lot of them focused on collateral-free lending, credit guarantees, etc., and also some government-backed funds for funds, etc., for early stages and stuff like that. But in my view, I think the biggest aspect would be the speed of execution. I think there are enough models which are available, and you know, there is enough of I would say channels available, but the speed of execution is something that we may have to accelerate, because the execution model is through multiple stakeholders, not necessarily through the government. And to that extent, I would say that a lot of technology would need to be leveraged. You know, for example, I would believe that the India AI mission would primarily need to focus on dimensions how AI can be leveraged for collateral-free lending, where there are enough patternizations which are available, there is enough thresholds that can be put in, and also some of the channels that can be activated by that. So in my view, I think the first thing would be a deeper adoption of technology to hasten the process completely. That's point number one. The second one is, can we also carry through some of the budget announcements that we had earlier? For example, in the previous period, we had announced about 100 plug-and-play parks. Now, if those plug-and-play parks, instead of looking at it as a traditional plug-and-play park, if you are able to think of it as a manufacturing as a service, where the anchor organizations actually create the capex, and the MSMEs, it can either be sector-specific plug-and-play parks, where the MSMEs can then leverage the entire manufacturing ecosystem as a service, then what happens is that the MSMEs suddenly are unburdened from the traditional context of economies of scale. And therefore, they actually become economies of scope models rather than economies of scale models. People can then focus on high variety, low volume portfolio, for which India has a huge market outside, and where there is a lot of offtake also, which is required because some of our traditional manufacturing competitors don't serve those markets. And these are highly profitable ones. So if you're also able to think about not just about the current operating models where we can really accelerate lending and really create capital for MSMEs, but also free up the capex for MSMEs and convert them into opex models to some innovative ones, then the MSMEs can suddenly scale with economies of scope that they already have. And with the quality dimension that you mentioned, we can actually create some of the role model MSMEs in this country by sector pretty quickly, which can then create clusters within the country which are globally competitive. So in many ways, you'll be creating globally competitive clusters rather than just one or two MSMEs, or let's say a handful of MSMEs that way. And to that extent, I think it'll also be a strong model for us to also increase India's overall quality competitiveness, because like what you were saying earlier, MSMEs contribute 40% of India's exports, which also means that the entire value chain is captivated through the MSMEs, and the large companies also gain to benefit, somewhat like the automotive cluster in Germany, which is known for creating many globally relevant small companies. I would say these are the things that we may want to think about. So a slight shift in my view of thinking beyond MSMEs only from a lending perspective, capital availability, doing some GST reforms, etc. Can we think about how can we free up their capex requirement and convert them into opex? That will make it a significant difference to how India's MSME competitiveness can be.
You know, there is, sticking on the lending point a bit, sticking to the lending point a bit, there is now a growing discussion of, you know, how the merits of shifting from an asset-based to cash flow-based lending using data such as GST filings and invoicing. In your view, how realistic is this transition, and what are the changes that are required to make it scalable and, importantly, reliable?
I think if you ask me from a conceptual perspective, I'm in complete alignment, because in my view too, I think the MSME asset base would always be, let us say, constrained for growth. And therefore, you know, any lending against that would fundamentally be always at a threshold level, which therefore will not enable growth of the MSMEs. Therefore, to that extent, I think the cash flow based lending becomes very, very important, because then in that case, companies which are able to turn around much faster in terms of their receivables and therefore their resultant inventorizations will obviously gain from the marketplace. And what it also means is that companies which are in the value chain will gain more. So the advantage of a cash flow based lending is that companies which are fairly integrated with Indian value chains, global value chains, tend to gain much more than companies which are isolated and which are doing discrete portfolios. So that's point number one. It gives us a better focus too, rather than just about enabling them to access credit more. So to that extent, I think there is enough merit in doing that. The fundamental, I would say, constraint that we have is how do we really execute it to the fullest potential? Primarily because I think in many ways, the transparency of MSMEs also have a bit of a challenge. And therefore, I would say the data and the information on which the cash flow based lending has to happen is always under some level of pressure. Therefore, the first thing that I would say that if you were to do this, I think one of the best ways for us to start thinking about it from a lender's perspective is how can we really create tailored short-term small ticket loans with very flexible repayment models. I think that would be very, very key. Therefore, don't follow the traditional model. If you're doing a cash flow based lending, align your credits to the cash flow base. So that would be the first one, and that would call for some level of, I would say, new products to be brought in into the market. The second one is obviously the way in which your risk itself would be modeled, right? The traditional risk modeling will not work because your traditional risk modeling was essentially against an asset, whether it is collateral based or non-collateral based, it has an asset to back on. Whereas it's fundamentally here, it's the order book in many ways. And therefore, I think the ways in which you'll have to start thinking about the risk models would be very, very different. So therefore, I think the default risk that you would also envisage has to be very different from the earlier ones. But I think there is enough traction in the marketplace by way of growth, and there is enough insight on how sectors are moving in the next 1 to 2 years that people can actually put their bets on. So that's the one. The third one is that I think we may want to also have a lot of things aligned with, let's say, the business platforms itself, which essentially means that can we integrate the lending directly into the platforms itself. So that would be very, very key. And for that, I think a lot of the AI, Gen AI models can be used by companies, especially the lenders per se. I'm taking a lender's view on this because the borrower also is very keen to take the lending on a cash flow based model. But essentially, that's the fourth one that I would think about. So if you're able to really look at the four dimensions of what would be the right product in this scenario, whether we have to change some of the dimensions in which we will model risk from a lender's perspective. Third one is, can this be directly on the business platform? Therefore, can we think about supply chain financing platforms, etc.? That's the one. And the fourth one is really about how can we really leverage technology, especially AI, because the patternizations will be there. There'll be a lot of learning that the lender can actually leverage. And with that learning, I think we can also make this system far more robust and significant than earlier.
You know, 90% of Indian MSMEs are micro enterprises, about 90% or so or thereabouts. So what policy levers such as, you know, district level competitiveness or mentor-mentee networks or something such with large enterprises can help MSMEs scale sustainably? Because if you have a large anchor industry or an not necessarily an investor, but a large enterprise actually functioning on the principles of a mentor, not necessarily of a client, on a client-vendor relationship, it'll help the micro enterprises graduate and go on to become first small and then medium, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, like what we spoke earlier, I think the first one that we may want to look at is how do we really align the micro enterprises, and applies to the SMEs also, not just the micro, but you know, I'm taking the micro view here to answer your question. How can we really have the role model approach, as I would call that, which you call the mentee approach? If we can take role models of, let's say, every 100 MSMEs with one role model to start with, and we are able to also incentivize the role models to be part of that, that can come through the budget, where adoption of MSMEs and actually running, let's say, very, very significant capacity building as well as capability building programs with them through a structured framework which can be centrally planned. I think while the nuances will vary by industry, I think the frame can remain the same across as to how you build capacity and capability for them. I think that can be a strong model for us to replicate. That's point number one. The second one is, even if it is not a role model approach which is industry agnostic, which is the first one, It can also be an industry-specific role model approach that we can take, where what the MSMEs would be able to take advantage of is not just best practices, but also access to markets, which I think can be led by the large companies. Therefore, market access, because the government is also enabling a lot of market access through the new trade agreements that are being signed up, as well as the ones which have been signed in the recent past. So if the MSMEs have to access those markets, it can also be through the large organizations, not just necessarily from a client perspective, but also as a value chain partner. So to that extent, I think we can consider two approaches. One is really to look at it as a mentor-mentee approach or a role model cluster approach. The second one is also to take a very industry sector cluster specific approach, where the mentor can actually be aligned to the same sector and open up markets. For example, many of the marketplace models which are now currently available can actually be linked to these SMEs. And those portfolios, because those marketplace models have access to both global and domestic markets, we can actually have them to align with the MSMEs. You know, the one district, one product is a classic example of it. We now have a number of states where the ODOP clusters are linked to marketplace models through aggregators. And therefore, that's the model which can also be deployed, where there would be a strong access to good practices. At the same time, also market access that can be provided.
You know, one final question. If Budget 2026 had to make one decisive shift for MSMEs from a compliance-heavy framework to a growth-oriented ecosystem, what should that be in your view?
I think my first view would be, as I said earlier, I would say two shifts, if I can take the liberty of adding one. First one I would say is really move away from a CapEx-based funding to an OPEX-based funding for MSMEs, and therefore help the MSMEs to focus on OPEX rather than CapEx. This will also ensure that the capital performance of the MSMEs also go up, make them globally competitive. That would be one from a structural perspective. The reason I am putting it in this budget is because if you do it now, we'll get the results in about a couple of years or so, because it's not going to be very immediate. So that's point number one. We can create clusters, but it'll take us some time. So think of manufacturing as a service as one. The global market is also moving towards servicification of manufacturing, which is products plus services integrated into solutions, and therefore MSMEs will also have to follow the same path. So that's the first one I would say. The second one would be obviously be in the short term, given that there has been significant increase in global commodity prices and therefore a direct reflection on the cost to serve for MSMEs. I think one of the things that we would also be looking at would be if there are some reforms, it could be in many forms. It could be either rationalization of their GST rates, it could be a greater access to credit. But second one would really be, how can we help them to optimize interest cost reduction, whichever way we look at it. But the second one would be, I would say, really looking at their cost to serve. The first one is more structural, converting their CapEx into OpEx. These are the two that I would think pretty important.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Mr. Iswaran Subramanian, for sharing your deep insights and perspectives on a range of issues just ahead of a very crucial budget that is going to be presented on the 1st of February 2026. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you. Good day.
Thank you.